Today I want to answer three questions from James chapter 5, and we'll read that in a moment. The questions are these. Is it a lack of faith for Christians to see a doctor? Should I throw away my medicines as a step of faith? And are all illnesses, particularly mental illness, demonic in origin? Let's have a look at the Word of God. James 5 from verse 13. Is any one of you in trouble? He should pray. Is anyone happy? Let him sing songs of praise. Is any one of you sick? He should call the elders of the church to pray over him and anoint him with oil in the name of the Lord. The prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well. The Lord will raise him up. If he has sinned, he will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous man or woman is powerful and effective. Amen. Amen. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we just open our hearts and our minds this morning as we open your word. Lord God, speak to us through your word and change our minds if our thinking is wrong in any area, Lord God. And Father, by the power of your Spirit, I pray that you would sweep over this congregation this morning. And even while I speak, Lord, that you would bring healing into people's lives. Glorify your name in this church today, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. The first verse that we read there, verse 13, really sums up all of life. It gives us in one verse a very simple recipe for whatever you're going through and the answer in each situation. If any one of you is in trouble, the word literally means suffering. If you're having any trouble, suffering, problems, difficulties, all of that, the solution is prayer. If any one of you is in trouble, he should pray. If anyone is happy, in other words, you're not in trouble, then you should sing songs of praise. Is any one of you sick? The remedy? Call the elders of the church to pray. And the prayer and anointing of oil will make the sick person well, according to this passage. And so you need to ask yourself, what are you going through at the moment? How are you right now? How do I need to respond to this? Are you suffering? You're going through a tough time? Pray. Are you happy? Sing. Okay? So it's very simple, isn't it? Trouble, pray, happy, sing. You can remember that, can't you? Trouble, pray, happy, sing. If you're sick, and particularly serious illness, where you can't actually get up and come to church and receive prayer, then you need to call for the elders of the church. And I want to emphasize here, it's your responsibility, or someone that knows. We had a lady came to me last Sunday, and she said, a lady in our church has been in hospital all week, and no one has visited. I said, did anyone know? And she said, no. And, you know, like, people think pastors operate word of knowledge 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and maybe good ones do. We don't, folks. Sorry, you know, we have to switch this thing off occasionally. And so we need to be told nicely. If someone is sick, if someone is in hospital, let us know, please. Just either Charles and Alice or myself and Christy or one of the pastors, just let us know. And we've always been diligent to follow through when we know. But we need to know first. And this is what this word is saying here. If anyone is sick, he should call the elders. The Bible puts the onus back on you, the sick one, okay? If you're not well, it's your responsibility. You call us. Who are you going to call? Elders, that's right. Sickness busters. So let's have a look at some of these questions this morning. Is it a lack of faith for a Christian to see a doctor? The answer to this question is found in James chapter 5 and verse 14. We've just read it. To pray over him, over the sick person, and anoint him with oil in the name of the Lord. Here in this passage, in this verse in James, he beautifully links the dimensions of faith and medicine together in one. In fact, the Bible does this all the way through. From Genesis right through to Revelation, you find a beautiful link between faith and prayer and the supernatural and medicine and doctors on the other hand. The Bible doesn't discount either. It actually marries the two together. And here in this one verse, to pray over him and anoint him with oil in the name of the Lord combines faith and medicine together. There are three key words here I just want to highlight to you. The first one is prayer. And that's the first one that's mentioned here. And I believe that as Christian people, we should always seek God first. If you are unwell, the first person that we should go to is God. Amen. Amen? The Bible says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. All of these other things will follow after our seeking first of God's kingdom. So we need to seek God first. I don't believe the first thing we should do is take a Panadol or go to the doctor. First thing, as soon as you're unwell, Lord God, I'm unwell. Please touch me. And then do what you need to do after that. But a seeking of God first is the key. If anyone is unwell amongst you, first he should pray. And then secondly, we see two other words, anointing and oil. And this is where the medicinal thing is linked in. The word to anoint there literally means to pour or to massage. And understand that the Bible actually, when it talks about anointing with oil, doesn't necessarily mean a little cross put on your forehead. Back in Bible days, they would get a jug of oil and actually tip it over you. It means pour. I heard of some little kids that did this. They were like primary school children. And they'd been taught in Sunday school about the anointing with oil for sickness. And one of their friends was not well. So they went around, they took the oil. They heard about this in Sunday school. And they went around and visited him. And they took all of the oil and literally poured it over the sick child. I don't know what the mother must have thought, whether the child was in bed or not. But they poured it over him and prayed for him, and God miraculously heals. And the faith of those children. I love it. I'm looking forward to the day that the children actually pray for you when you come out for an altar call, you know. It was lovely to see them last week, just walking around collecting the offering and, you know, handing out the welcome packs and all that. I love having children involved in the life of our church. They are special. They are precious. Such is the kingdom of heaven. And their simplicity. You know, the first thing Georgia Grace says when she hurts herself, you know, you don't kiss her better. I've tried it a couple of times. I kiss her. No, pray. She says, pray. My father-in-law, who's a lovely Christian man, but he's from a traditional Presbyterian background, you know, and if Georgia Grace hurts herself, she'll say, Granddad, pray for me. And so, you know, he bows his head and she grabs his hand and goes, no, like this. Puts his hand on where it hurts and he has to pray for her with a laying on of hands. She'll make him a Pentecostal yet. And so the word anoint literally means to pour, or it also means to massage. Now, I'm not suggesting that the elders of the church all take a massage course by any means, but it links here. If you want a massage, go and see Phil Brake, okay? I'm going to write that into his job description, the physio thing. But here it links in this, the physio thing, that's right. It's like the God thing, but the physio thing. It links here medicinal and faith together. And so does the word oil. In fact, in the Bible, oil is often used for medicinal purposes, not just for anointing, for healing, but also for medicinal purposes. Remember the story of the Good Samaritan in Luke chapter 10. What did he do? He washed the wound out with wine, first of all, and then he bathed it with oil and then, you know, wrapped bandages around that wound. The oil was used medicinally. And so here in this passage, we see a beautiful link together, and we do so, as I said, all the way through God's word, between faith and prayer and doctors and medicine, all linked beautifully together. God is not anti-doctor. God is not anti-medical science. In fact, one of the key guys in the New Testament is described as a beloved physician. His name is Luke. Turn to Luke chapter 1. I love Luke. Luke writes like a doctor. If your Bible wasn't typed, you couldn't read Luke. Look at this, Luke chapter 1 and the first four verses. This guy writes like a doctor. Listen to this. Many have undertaken to draw up an account of the things that have been fulfilled among us, just as they were handed down to us by those who were from the first, were eyewitnesses and servants of the word. Therefore, since I myself have carefully investigated everything from the beginning, it seemed good also to me to write an orderly account for you, most excellent Theophilus, so that you may know the certainty of the things you have been taught. Isn't that beautiful? You can just imagine this guy, can't you? A highly intelligent physician, the beloved physician. Here he writes that entire book of Luke. And he wrote the book of Acts. In fact, they were really, you know, they should be put back to back, even though they were wrote at different times, because Acts piggybacks. In fact, in the first verses of Acts, he picks up and he says, all the things I wrote to you before, I want to write to you now what happened next. This is part two. This is the to be continued that I put at the end of Luke chapter 24. And so Luke was a beloved physician. God is not anti-doctors. I used to go to a Christian lady doctor many years ago, and on her business card it had, doctors treat, God heals. I love that. It says it all. Doctors treat, God heals. Because ultimately all healing is from God. Let me give you three things that doctors can do. Number one, they can treat many conditions successfully. Praise God for doctors. And I'll include nurses in this too. We have quite a number of nurses in the life of this church, male and female. And I believe we have one or two doctors that attend this church on a regular basis as well. Praise God for the medical profession. You know, I just want to say to those in this church today, and also those watching by TV, that what you are involved in is not just a job. It is a sacred calling that you are involved in. It's the ministry of healing. And praise God for you and the anointing and the calling of God that he has placed upon your life. Do not treat it lightly. God has called you and he uses you to touch and to bless people's lives, and it's so special. So God bless you as you continue that profession. I know it gets hard. I talk to some of the nurses in the church here, and the shifts are horrendous. My own sister is a theatre nurse, you know, and she'll be on a late, and the next day she's on an early. You know, you crawl into bed at midnight or 1, and then you're up at 5 or 5:30 in the morning and to go back again. It's tough. It's hard work. But it's a calling of God that he's placed upon you. It's more than just a job. You are involved in the ministry of healing. And God bless you as you exercise that ministry. So the first thing that doctors and those in the medical profession can do is they can treat many conditions successfully. Number two, they can diagnose a condition so that you can pray more specifically. I often say to people when they come to me, you know, for prayer, I say, what's wrong with you? I don't know yet. Okay, well, I'll pray for you, but I'd like you to go and see a doctor or a specialist. Find out exactly what the problem is so that we can then pray more specifically, because specific prayer works. And then thirdly, they can confirm that a healing has taken place. And that's what we've seen a number of times in the life of this church. I've referred to Margaret Rose's testimony a couple of times in this series, and I'll refer to it again now. Praise God that Margaret went to see a specialist. Praise God that she had x-rays taken, that we have x-rays of the cancer that was in her legs. Praise God that she received faithful prayer and then went back to the doctor, had more x-rays that showed that the cancer had gone. I'm so glad that we have that record. Amen? Amen. If we just had prayed, we'd never have known whether there was something wrong or nothing wrong. But because she followed what I believe a biblical series of steps, God was brought glory. And, you know, I've met a number of doctors over the years, and some of them, as non-Christians, they're a little reticent to say a miracle has taken place. But a lot of them will, too. And they'll say, well, I can't explain what has taken place here. All I know is you were sick, but you're not now. And sometimes they'll say, a miracle has happened. They can confirm that a healing has taken place. Jesus used to do that all the time, all the way through the Gospels. He'd lay hands on someone, and he'd heal them, and then the first thing he'd say is, go and show yourself to the priest. Because I want them to see the power of God in action. Once you were sick, now you are healthy. And this is a testimony to the medical and religious practitioners of the day. But medical science has its limitations. And it's often when doctors can't do any more that God really steps in. And I've seen that too. Some of you have. When you hear the words, there is nothing more I can do for you, that is quite often when God will step in and say, that's right, but this is what I can do for you. And so the answer to question one, if I can just find it again, is it a lack of faith for a Christian to see a doctor? The answer is no. But seek God first, and then seek help afterwards.